infants have died from COVID-19 in Alaska, the state's first pediatric deaths. And Upper Lynn Canal residents interested in food security are invited to join a workshop this weekend. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Corinne Smith. Those stories are up next. Alaska this month became the 47th state to report its first pediatric deaths from the coronavirus pandemic. The fatalities both occurred in mid-2021 during the Delta surge. State health officials nevertheless remain optimistic that the current Omicron wave has plateaued and that the high infection rates among residents of all ages will soon be coming down. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Dr. Ann Zink is the chief medical officer for the state of Alaska.
Sadly, we did have our two first pediatric deaths that we are sharing here in the state. These did happen a bit ago. It took a while for the death certificate review process to come through, both infants less than 12 months old in the South Central region.
The only other detail the Department of Health and Social Services would provide about the infants is that both were Alaska residents. During a weekly statewide press conference on February 3rd, department officials said that pediatric deaths are particularly tragic and counter the widespread idea held by the public that COVID-19 presents no risk to children. The two infants died during the Delta surge last year, which generally caused more severe illness and strained the capacity of the state's hospitals. During the current Omicron surge, severe illness and deaths are down, and hospitals are functioning well. But far more people are contracting the Omicron variant, including children. And while children are at low risk of severe COVID disease, Zink said the numbers are of concern.
A lot of people are mixing. Kids need to be back in school and doing lots of things. But what we have seen with the number of childhood cases in the past has just been a real increase with this more recent surge. And that's been very kind of different than early on in the pandemic. And you can see this across the regions in the country. And here, when we look at the number of adult cases compared to child cases, again, those child cases, while all are going up, those child cases clearly are going up as well.
The number of cases nationally is now coming down. And in Alaska, we may be seeing a plateau within the next week. The BA2 variant of Omicron has been detected in the state, but it doesn't appear any more virulent than the original. And vaccines and medications remain quite effective. Zink said that Alaska has a roadmap, if not back to normal, it's to a better place than we were 2 years ago.
COVID's going to be here with us for a very long time, if not forever. And it will be probably continuing to change, and we'll have surges and we'll have variants and we'll learn new things. Science isn't fixed. It's a process. And we'll continue to learn and respond as we have challenges moving forward. But our tools and our resources in 2022 are definitely different than our tools and resources in 2020. So when we started, when we were, you know, helping to support that flight from Wuhan, you know, we didn't know how this virus spread. We didn't have PPE. We didn't have a test for it. We didn't have vaccines. We didn't have treatments. And we are at a really different place now in 2022 than we are at that place. We have most of the Alaska population has either been vaccinated or has previously had COVID-19. And while both of those things can wane over time, they still provide protection. We have treatments like we never had before. We have more masking and tools. And we are finding ways to be together, have our kids in school, gather, and do the things that are important to us moving forward.
The state section of epidemiology expects Omicron to taper off in Alaska in the near future, just as it has elsewhere in the country. And with the decline in cases will come a relaxation of some of the layers of mitigation that have been in place since last fall, but only some. Individual responsibility will continue to play a large role in controlling the pandemic. Dr. Zink said an immunocompromised person going through chemo and a fully vaccinated 7-year-old who's already low risk will protect themselves differently post-Omicron. There are as many different solutions as there are people in the state, she said. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Upper Lynn Canal residents interested in food security are invited to join a workshop this Saturday to talk about local resources for growing food, economic opportunities, and self-sufficiency. It's part of a statewide project with the Alaska Food Policy Council. Asset mapping is a tool to identify community resources and services, or assets, that exist already and build off of them. This Saturday, a workshop hopes to do that for Upperland Canal Food Systems, gathering residents virtually to talk about those assets, from land and local crops to new economic opportunities and tackling food security. One of the local partners is the Haines Economic Development Corporation. Sue Chasen is on the board.
Instead of focusing on what we don't have, it's focusing on what we have.
It's part of a project spearheaded by the Alaska Food Policy Council, with communities across the state to create healthier and more secure food systems. Haines and Skagway are participating as one of 13 regional partners to collaborate on local projects and support food security and agricultural development. Caitlin Jared is executive director with the Skagway Economic Development Corporation.
Most of Alaska is super reliant on the barge and airline services to bring our food in. And there's always concern that if something happens, if a major disruption happens with any of those supply chains, then we don't have enough food in our communities to feed ourselves. And also they provide economic opportunities and new job types and those additional benefits that happen by a strong food network.
These are complex issues, and the Upperland Canal has both great potential for agricultural development and many challenges as rural communities. Jared says a larger goal is to find more opportunities for collaboration as a region.
So for Skagway specifically, you know, we don't have a lot of flat land, but what can our role be in ensuring and helping Skagway, Haines, and Southeast Alaska increase its food security and self-sustainability and become more resilient?
Several food security projects are underway now in the Chilkat Valley. The Chilkoot Indian Association has a food box program serving low-income families in Haines. The Victory Garden at the Mosquito Lake Community Center is volunteer-run and provides fresh produce to the community throughout the growing season. Sue Chasen is also on the board of the Chilkat Valley Historical Society, which has several projects funded by federal grants, harkening back to Haines' agricultural history. One is supporting residents in growing fruit trees with the Chilkat Valley Orchard Project.
To help folks learn about building orchards here, you know, their best methods, and, you know, the hope was to eventually put up an experimental orchard. The second project we got funded is called the Charles Anway Berry Project.
Named after the Klondike Gold Rush era homesteader and farmer Charles Anway, the project is focusing on best practices for commercial cultivation of blueberries and strawberries. Chasen says she hopes the workshop will help people better understand all the moving parts of the food system.
And maybe learn about some things we weren't even thinking about.
Many Alaskans are already seeing food prices increase due to inflation and supply chain disruptions. The initiative aims to help communities build off of resources already available and develop stronger and more local food systems. The Asset Mapping Workshop for Upperland Canal Food Security is from 3 to 5 p.m. Saturday, February 12th via Zoom. Login details are available at khns.org. For KHNS, I'm Corinne Smith. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read news stories on our website at khns.org. You can also subscribe to KHNS News on Spotify or anywhere you get your podcasts.